780 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice 1 toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 21st of August, Anno Domini 2005, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And we'll be bringing you news, views,
you know,
stuff
let me,
you can
let me
use.
Try that again with my mic on. And I'm Rob Linton.
I thought it was my thing here. I was cutting out again. I thought, all right, here we go.
Mine up. I'm hearing nothing.
Something to talk about in the show. We're going to rant about stuff that makes us even crazier than we normally are.
I got it.
We're going to talk about bugs and viruses and worms. We're going to talk about writing worms for money. We're going to talk about movies, digital or analog. We're going to talk about getting all your porn in one convenient place. We're going to talk about Microsoft patents. They've got a new patent out that you'll be thrilled to hear about. So it's going to be an interesting show.
They're going to do another dumb idea?
No, they did a brilliant idea, actually. I think even Steve will agree. This is a brilliant idea. We'll talk about it later. First up, I have a great news story. My beloved wife, God bless her, today's her birthday.
Happy birthday, Elaine!
She's 27. And
27th time.
No!
Okay, that was Steve, Elaine. I had nothing to do with that. She just called me about a story that was on the news. They had a couple of kids put a few hours of their time up on eBay. They auctioned off a few hours of their time. You know, whatever you want to do.
To do things?
Right, to do chores and stuff like that. A few hours of their time. The winning bidder, one of the kids' mother.
All right.
What's wrong with that?
Well, she said two things. First, I can never get him to do anything normally. And secondly, what, I'm going to let some pedophile bid for this? No.
Okay. True.
So she bid for it. It was pretty neat. I thought that was pretty cute.
There was a similar case a couple of years ago where a family put themselves up to bid to find a patron, like in the olden days.
Right.
You want us to do, you're our patron, you pay us, anything we invent. He was a scientist guy or something. Anything we invent, you own the patents on. And eBay terminated the auction, calling it slavery.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that's how they did it in the olden days. You would find a patron to give money.
It's patronage. At best, indentured servitude.
Yeah, especially if you're going to get paid for it.
Yeah. Yeah, you give us a place to live. Everything we invent will be yours. You know, servants. You know.
Exactly. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got one other terrific story talking about kids. In a Pennsylvania town... Cutstown, Kutztown. There were some kids in Pennsylvania. Okay. I don't know, last day when he calls in.
Yeah.
13 high school students, being called the Cutstown 13 at this point, were charged with third-degree felonies for misusing their school-issued Apple iBooks. The school gave them iBooks, gave every kid an iBook. They hacked into the machines. They hacked into the machines, changed some passwords, did some stuff. The interesting thing is, where did they get the passwords? Why, they were taped onto the back of the computer.
I see.
Now, I understand when individuals do this, okay? I get that. They're not system administrators. It's not their job, et cetera, et cetera. But when the administrator tapes the administrator's password to the back of the computer, that administrator needs to be slapped in public.
I've seen it at some businesses where I've had to go in. The administrator went into this business and set everything up. And I had to do some work on a couple of them. So the obvious place I first look?
Under the keyboard.
Under the keyboard.
Absolutely.
Sure enough, underneath the keyboard was not only the administrator's password, but the person, two other people that log on to it, their passwords. So when she came by and said, do you need the password to get in? I said, no, I already got them.
So what about the people that put their banking passwords and stuff on their monitors or things like that?
Yes, why do they bother to have passwords? Right. Why don't they just hand out cards with all their information?
You want to get into my account.
Hello, this is my identity information. Help yourself.
Physical access to the computer, you know, negates almost any password you have.
Right.
But one of the really annoying things, and the kids put up their own website, cutusabrick.org, and we'll have that listed shortly. Everyone in the school, 300 kids in the school, had all these passwords. They didn't do anything malicious. They didn't change their grades. They didn't break into the school network. They were IMing their friends. So out of the 300 kids that were doing this, only 13 got arrested, and that was their big thing. There was no school disciplinary action. A couple of kids got detention now and then, but they're allowed to take their computers into detention, so they played video games. A couple of kids tried to turn in their computer because it was too tempting. The school forced them to keep their computer.
Yeah.
And so it's a real big thing blown out of proportion. Parents didn't know anything until they got a letter from the police saying, your kid's under arrest, please turn him in.
Right. Well, the thing is, these kids were accused of using hacking tools. The administrators changed the passwords, and these kids were accused of using hacking tools to find the new password.
Well,
that is a felony.
And the password was their school's address, 50 Trexler.
Right.
Which is stupid to begin with.
Right.
And then writing it on the computer, too.
Right. But there's really, it gets muddy because there are really two stories here. The administrators who put the thing in the machine, that person on the
right
flat.
There, they...
And those kids shouldn't be arrested. They didn't really do anything wrong. But
they
the kids who then used the tool...
They provided the information.
Right, but
they were provided the laptop.
Right, but the 13 kids who used the tool to hack into the computer,
mm-hmm.
Trust me when I tell you, not only does that raise my hackles as a system administrator, but they get turned into the FBI. Because we don't play that game.
Yeah.
We do that at RIT. We do not play that game. Because if somebody gets their identity stolen, and they trace through somebody who had the thing, right, the hacking tool, and they knew I knew about it and I didn't do anything, I'm an accessory. I'm not going to lose my job for somebody else. I don't care. I'm not going to do it. All right, listen, we have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to catch a couple of phone calls. We have rant.
I got a cool website I got to tell you. There's another good, besides a rant, I got a very good rant, and I got a very good website I want to tell folks about later on. Definitely with what's going on right now with identity theft.
All right, excellent. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Ravlin, and me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We've got things to talk about, but first we're going to go to Dave. Dave is calling. Where are you from, Dave?
Sodus.
Sodus, New York.
Yes.
Okay. Sodus or Sodus Point?
Sodus.
Okay.
The village.
The village. And what's your question?
I've got a laptop that the desktop icons and start bar disappear at the boot.
Do they come back and disappear again, or do they disappear completely?
No, they show up on the boot, and then all of a sudden they just disappear and they're gone.
Windows XP?
XP.
Can you click anywhere on the, right-click anywhere on the desktop?
And it still doesn't bring anything up.
You don't get, like, a little window to view icons?
No, I've run a repair. It will keep the icons on the desktop in safe mode, and I've gone through all the switches, and I can't find anything.
Okay, I think you may have one of two problems. If you right-click on the desktop and you don't even get a drop-down menu...
Correct.
Then you've got... There's a driver issue with your system. If it all works in safe mode and it doesn't work in Windows, you've got a driver problem. You've probably got the wrong driver loaded. It may be that you're actually seeing things, but you've got the screen set so wide that you only see the middle of the screen and none of the actual stuff. If you were to be able to scroll around on the screen, you might find it. The problem is, if you're not even getting a drop-down box when you right-click, not left-click, but right-click on the menu, then you've got a bigger problem. My suggestion would be to remove the video card from the system.
Or go into Device Manager and delete it from there so when it reboots it finds it.
Yeah, it sounds like Windows Explorer, the program that makes the desktop, is crashing and disappearing and not relaunching itself, too.
Right. That, it could easily be that, but I'd start at least with the video card. This is one of the problems that Windows users have had for 100 years, which is there are so many different cards and so many different versions of the cards and so many different versions of the operating system, and you have to match the versions when you use when you load a driver.
Well, I've also seen some of the folks doing the updates. You know how you do the Windows updates,
right?
And there's also hardware updates,
right?
And the video card. And you can click on to download that. Now, your system was working fine. No problem at all. But Microsoft suggests putting in this one video driver. And all of a sudden, the video on it goes totally bonkers. I've seen it, you know, colors not come back. I've seen it not boot right. I've seen blank desktops. All because Microsoft said, well,
yes,
maybe
sir,
you should try this one driver.
Do me a favor, explain drivers, because I think we might take for granted that people know what a driver is.
A good idea. When you load up Windows, it really doesn't know how to do much of anything.
Besides get out of its own way.
Right. Basically, that's it. In order to run any sort of hardware device, there has to be something that connects that device to the computer and to the operating system. And I don't mean the physical connection. I mean a program that tells the operating system, this is what the device is, this is how you talk to it, and these are the things that it can do. That's called the device driver.
And those usually come with every device, whether it's a modem, a scanner, a CD-ROM drive, a sound card.
A lot of drivers you're used to installing. The printer driver. You buy a new printer, you have to load the disk.
Perfect.
It tells Windows how the printer works.
Yep.
Some of the drivers are installed by Windows itself. Your video driver, the hard disk driver, the floppy disk driver. So those are installed by Windows itself, and you don't have to worry about it until they quit working.
That's exactly what a driver is. And if you mismatch the driver, if the driver isn't for that exact model of hardware or for that exact version of Windows, there's a disconnect and they don't work correctly together. It's like gluing two pieces of something together off-center a little bit. Yeah, they kind of fit, but not really.
XP does a good job of guessing for the most part.
But it is just a guess.
That's why I said a guess.
Now, somebody can really hurt themselves, though, if they go into the settings of the computer and just start deleting or whatever drivers, right?
No.
Right, so that's an area that people may not want to mess around with.
Well, you don't want to delete the driver. What you want to do is the easiest thing to do is actually remove the device itself from the device manager. Then when you reboot, it'll find it again like you put in a new one.
Yeah.
Oh, you have a new video card I've never seen before.
Should I
fake a driver, or do you want to give me the disk, which has the real driver on it? That's when you put the driver disk in. What a lot of people tend to do is say, oh, go ahead and figure something out, but it's probably not right. In particular, with many devices, my suggestion is you go on the website and see if there's an update. Because a lot of times the driver that comes with it was a first cut. And we all know that first drafts aren't always the final solution.
And the solution that we were leaning toward for this caller was that the driver for the video card may have accidentally thought he had a 20-inch monitor and say he only has a 15-inch monitor. So the rest of the image is just off the screen.
Yeah.
So
right.
We can't see it.
Right. If you were to cut out, take a piece of paper and lay it over your monitor and cut out a 6-inch square out of the middle, and look at it, you probably wouldn't see your bar across the bottom, you wouldn't see any of your icons, and yet they're all there, you just can't see them because they're too wide for the little window.
The window on the desktop.
But see, he was saying, though, even when he right-clicked on the blank screen.
Well, that's what
he
wasn't.
Yeah, that's where he's got to go back into safe mode and remove that device from the device manager, remove the video card, and have it refind it.
Right, that's probably your best bet. Before Dave's rant, I do want to say to everybody who's not listening via the live video stream, I'm actually recording this week, so there is no live video stream. Get over it. But you have
first off,
audio stream. Excellent, yeah.
Well, there's no live video stream, is there? I didn't lie to them, did I?
Well, that was never a video stream. That was a video snapshot.
But there is no live video stream.
There's no live video either.
Is it still frozen on last week's video images?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. We removed the rude Italian street gesture that you made, and we just got the regular stuff up now.
No, I was going to tell about a cool website.
Cool website.
Right now, you know, with the identity theft, we've been telling folks about, you know, their identity and being worried about it. Well, one cool thing that they're going to be doing starting September 1st, and this is for anybody in New York State, if you log on to www.annualcreditreport.com, you will be able to get a true free credit report. It won't tell you your score, but at least you'll be able to see your full credit report. So you can print it off. Unlike some of these others, there's one, freecreditreport.com. Well, hello, that one is, you know, forget it.
Yeah, there are some, I don't want to call them fake ads, but they're ads that offer to give you a free credit report. You can get sort of like a headline for free. You've got 16 items on your credit report.
But then
you got to pay to get the rest of it.
You got to pay. Right. This one is actually free.
And what's the name again?
It is annualcreditreport.com.
That's a good place.
And like I say, you can easily, you know, get it, look it over. So if you're getting, you know, some other charges on your charge cards or charge cards you didn't even know you had. I mean, usually folks don't find out until a month or so after, and it's like, I don't have that credit card.
There's also, if a lot of people don't know, that if you are turned down for credit, a credit card, you know, a mortgage, a loan, anything like that, you're legally entitled to a free credit report from each of the agencies. You have to do all that manually, which is annoying.
But this one's a neat website that you can go to and get it for free as of September 1st.
Pretty neat deal, and that's a nice feature.
Listen, we're done for this segment. We're gonna take a little break,
but I gotta rant.
The great Randy Goodman is gonna be in with the news, and he'll be telling you all the stuff that's going on in the world. And we come back on the other side with Dave Enright's rant. We'll talk about all kinds of interesting things: bugs, viruses, worms. We'll certainly be taking a lot more of your phone calls, and we're just gonna have plenty of fun. That's what we do here, and. We'll be back shortly with Dave Enright, with Mr. Steve Ray, with the wonderful Rob Linton, who just, what is that look today? You've got a mood on.
It's a look that I've been up since 5:30 this morning, and I need a nap. That's the look. No, I'm fine.
All right. You just had kind of a look on your face.
I always have a smirk when I look at you.
Thank you, I think. I'm Nick Francesco. You're listening to Soundbites.
Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAF.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. In this particular segment, we're going to talk about bugs and viruses and worms. We're going to talk about...
That's disgusting.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Especially that one that Windows 2000.
Yeah, there were a couple out this week. The Zobot was one of them.
But you know what I love about it? Normally, like your big channels, like CNN, MSN.
Right.
You know, if there was a virus out or a bug, you know, it'd be a 30-second story. But that whole evening, because they were directly affected.
They got hit.
They got hit big time.
Yeah.
It was the news all over. Now, if they were all running Windows XP, I guarantee you it would have been just a 30-second spot.
Oh, yes, there's another virus out there, and it's making Windows 2000 machines.
Yeah, it hit them where they live, and that's what happened.
And that
one of the things that I liked is they had a couple of Mac developers talking about it, too, and they were asked the questions, if we were using Macs, would this happen? What a couple of guys were saying, probably not, but you'd have other problems.
Right.
And we've, you know, said for years that the Macs and Linux are mostly immune to viruses because they're not written for those operating systems, because Windows is such a huge target.
Right.
But one of the CNN anchors was saying, well, shouldn't, like, the director of IT at CNN get fired?
Well, that's my point, and I am a systems administrator, and if all of my machines had been hit by this bug, I would expect some sort of repercussion from my upper management. I can't imagine it. It just, we weren't hit, by the way. Thank you very much. The point is, what happened was exactly, I'm patting myself on the back. Actually, I shouldn't pat myself on the back. That's normal operating procedure for a system administrator.
And your people are on top of things.
My people are on top of things. I got great people working for me, and so I can sit up in my office with my feet up on my desk all day. It's nice.
They're using a five-year-old OS. That really struck me.
Well, here's the thing. The exploit that hit CNN and those guys was strictly a Windows 2000 virus. It had been patched a while ago.
Yeah.
And the administrators simply had not applied the patch. And these and the guys who wrote this particular virus were just, it was kind of a target of opportunity. Somebody probably sitting around going, oh, you know what? I wonder who's not patched this one. Bang, let's see. There were a couple of others out this week that were just as bad, if not actually worse, that did some other things to XP and a couple of others. So that's a real problem. There's a lot of that stuff going around. And as always...
Almost lost in the mess about CNN and Time, New York Times
right.
getting shut down. A bunch of airports, the air traffic control systems were shut down by this virus.
Yep, yep.
Tell me again what would happen to my machine if I got this virus.
It would continually reboot.
Yeah.
Just bang, bang, bang. No, just boot it and it reboots. You boot it and it reboots.
Did you see the screen?
Trust me, if you had it,
you'd know.
You'd know it.
All right, yeah. Yeah, you'd see the Windows 2000 logo splash screen. It'd stay there for about 10 seconds and then it reboots.
Boots it, comes back up. You see the screen?
Reboots.
Yep.
And just
so yeah, it would be bad. That would be what's the word I'm looking for?
Bad.
That's the word bad. So yeah, what did I do? Shut down. Nice job, Nick. Okay. So yeah, there's a bunch of that kind of stuff that's going on this last week. Maybe every week. I really shouldn't say just this last week.
Yeah.
There are a lot of worms out lately, and you folks need to remember. To update and update and update and update. And
those are different from viruses.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're sort of close, but they're different.
Right. Most worms... Now, let me explain the differences here.
Yeah, we should...
A virus is a program that basically extends itself from machine to machine by attaching itself to something that you send out.
Yep.
For example, a game or a picture. It'll attach itself to them, so when you send it to people,
it
rides along. Exactly. A worm is very similar, except it doesn't need you. It does it by itself. It will send out its own emails to people, mailing itself out. It will
That's
do all of that
design stuff. Of it.
Right, right. And then what a virus does, well, that's a whole other story. It may reformat your drive. It may reboot your system. The worst thing it can do, of course, is insert what's called a keylogger. As we all know about when we're on a system that we want to, if we're up on the web and we're going to be entering secure information, we all know now to look for the little lock in the lower corner that says this is a secured website. But if you've got a keystroke logger on your machine, it grabs your keystrokes before they get to the web, so it gets the clear data.
And writes a little file.
And writes a little file and then sends it off to the people that got it. That's why we suggest running the security tangle so regularly. That's why we suggest keeping your antivirus software up to date, because most antivirus programs catch keyloggers. That's why we suggest that you do all of this stuff. It's required. It's necessary for folks to be able to keep their machines clean, to do it regularly. That's a problem, and I know that. I know how hard it is to do that stuff regularly, but it truly does need to be done regularly. And how regularly is regularly? Well, we talked about this the other day. We had our seminar, our little road show.
We have to thank Frontier for that. I mean, they did a phenomenal job. And I had a great time with all the folks that showed up. And, I mean, there was great food there, too. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, they had cookies and coffee and soda. It was great. We had a thing at their site. It was 100 people, a little free seminar. 100 of you showed up. I got to meet people I'd never seen before. Met Dolores.
Yeah, a number of folks.
We saw Smiley B there. We saw Debbie Silver. God bless her. The woman's a saint. We had a great time. And the folks at Frontier have been kind enough not only to sponsor the seminar for us, they're also sponsoring the Security Tangle, and as you'll hear later, they're even sponsoring this show.
Sound nice.
Very nice of them. Very, very nice of them. We're very honored for them to be joining the Soundbites family.
Then we'll have future seminars coming up. Stay tuned to our website
exactly,
for dates.
Exactly, and we'll let everybody know exactly what's going on and when it's happening and what we're doing. When we come back, we have the Dane Enright rant.
This is ridiculous. I mean... You gotta stay tuned for this one.
We have a couple of phone calls. We have we're gonna talk a little bit about 3D TV. The holodeck is coming to your television set when we come back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco
on Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Hey, have you heard about the new Surf and Talk plan from Frontier? With Frontier's Talk and Surf package, you get unlimited calls, that's local, 30 minutes of long distance, you get voicemail, 17 different calling features, plus high-speed internet. This is, you know, literally five times faster than dial-up. If you folks are using dial-up, you know, this is a great opportunity to switch over and get both your long-distance service, your local phone service, and internet, and it's all for $45.99. I mean, this is an unbelievable deal. I have it. I love it. As a matter of fact, I was telling my daughter, Melissa, about it. She went over, was able to literally save money by getting rid of that second phone line because she was up on dial-up, getting very frustrated.
So wait a minute. I don't need a second phone line anymore?
No. With this, you literally save yourself the extra phone line and not be...
And how much is it?
Only for $45.99.
Both internet, talk.
Internet service and your local long-distance phone calling service at Frontier.
Launched from a single...
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Bob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. And we're going to start, I think, with... Dave is ready to bust a gut here, so we better let him talk. He's got his little rant.
You know, folks do dumb things. I mean, I'll admit, in my lifetime, I've done some dumb things. I can remember one story where we were kids. We lived over on Jones Avenue. And we were a young kid. My brother was just a tiny baby. And in this house... We had the old-fashioned coal furnaces where the heat would run up. Well, we were up in our bedroom, me and my sisters, and my brother, we could lift this register up. My brother was down below in this playpen. Well, I talked my sister, Deb, to go downstairs and tie a rope around him because we lowered this rope down. And we were raising Kevin up, bringing him up, and he was just clearing the playpen when my mother yelled at us. And we let go of the rope and put the register back down. Boom. That's a dumb thing. Well, when
do not try this at home.
Yeah, right. Now, here,
we're not advocating
we're
this.
We're professionals.
So I admit, I've done dumb things, but I don't go and remove cards. And I think you know what I'm going to say.
Go ahead.
When a machine is on.
Yep.
I don't care if you are the fastest person in the world.
You can't beat the speed of light.
Yeah, you're not faster than light.
Picking a card, if you see a card is loose in a machine because you've been in there and adjusting things in that, even if it's loose, don't push it down in firmer. You will blow the motherboard.
Yes. And yeah, anytime you take the cover off your machine, make sure the machine is off. Hello?
But leave it plugged in.
How hard is that?
A lot of machines have big red lights on the inside to warn you that it's still on. In fact, Apple had to issue a tech note because on a lot of their Macs, you open the door, there's a big red light on. And apparently so many people called and asked what that big red light was for, they issued a tech note that said the big red light means your computer's turned on.
Yeah.
Well, don't mess around on the inside.
And a PC, usually most PCs, you know, DOS-based PCs or Windows XP, you can see the CPU fan going.
Yeah, the fan
there's usually
spinning.
A side fan. They're running. That's like, you know, changing an electric outlet or something else. Well, the electricity's still on.
Yeah, if you take off the cover and you hear this noise, don't stick your hands in it.
You can't.
No.
But, I mean, you know, when you get people sit there and say, well, what happened to this? Well, a card was loose, so I quit, lifted it up and pushed it back down in.
Yeah.
Well, it was on.
Next computer, please.
And then there's this long lull. Well, did it make a difference?
Did you?
Yeah. But I did it quick.
Yeah, yeah.
If you do it quicker than 186,000 miles per second, you might win.
Maybe. I mean, like I said, I've done dumb things, but... Man.
Amalgamated Association of Morons. Local 6 and 7/8.
I remember.
Excite me.
But folks, please, if you're going to look, even to look at the machines, make sure they're turned off, but leave them plugged in. This way, if you happen to touch the frame in there, like I was telling
you. In fact, you should touch the frame.
Yes.
Ground yourself.
Touch by the power supply, and you'll ground yourself.
And that's not to protect you. That's to protect it.
Yeah,
right. We don't really care about you. We care about
you. You can light up like a light bulb.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing. But to sit there and try to do any work on your computer, leaving it plugged in, you know, if you've got modern wiring, at least that's got a ground on it. So by leaving it in, and then you touch the power supply.
You better have modern wiring if you've got a computer hooked up. If you've got one of those deals where you make a three-prong into a two-prong.
I've seen a lot of homes.
That's a bad thing.
But I've seen it.
Yeah.
That's a bad thing.
My house is so old that...
How old is it?
Yeah, it's pushing in, you know, it's in the 30s we think it was built. There's
a breaker.
In every room in the house, only one wall has outlets. Is apparently that's all I needed then. And it's these outlets that I haven't seen in a long time. There's four two-prong outlets on each wall plate.
But you've got to remember, back in those days...
Well, it looks like somewhere along the line, probably in the late 70s, someone went through and put one three-prong outlet on one wall in every room. So I've got extension cords everywhere.
Yeah, but
I don't necessarily want my computer on that wall. I'm make sure to use the three-wire and the big, heavy, great extension cords and...
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got Frank from Greece on the phone. We are going to talk about 3D warring bots and Microsoft monkeys on Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Answering your computer questions for over 15 years, it's Sound Bites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Bray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Bray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. Before we go any farther, poor Frank has been holding on the line, wants to talk about DSL security. Welcome, Frank. What's your question?
Good morning, gentlemen. We just recently went to that DSL.
Yeah.
And we can talk and be on the Internet at the same time.
Right.
And I was just wondering, would it be...
And how do you like it?
Oh, it's great.
That's what I like to hear. What were you, dial-up before?
Yeah, and we're paying less money, too.
Isn't that cool? You save money, and you're much faster, and you can talk and serve at the same... I don't know how you beat that.
You can't. As far as the security goes for the computer...
Sure.
Would you consider it overkill, let's say, if we were using the computer but not having to be on the Internet? If I were to get a... simple on-off switch to interrupt the DSL.
Well, that's certainly doable. I don't think it's at all necessary.
Yeah.
And it actually could confuse the DSL system because if it's off for too long, your service can be interrupted until you turn it back on.
And if you get a different IP address.
Right.
Because
the basic deal here is you need to have security on your system, even if you only dial up. If you ever get on the Internet, you need to have security. And if you have security, you need to have it running all the time anyway.
Oh, yeah, we certainly do.
So it truly does not matter whether you're on DSL, any sort of broadband, always on broadband, or whether you dial up. You need to have security, and you need to have it running all the time.
A lot of viruses wait in the background. So you can get infected and not know it. And then disconnect your DSL. You think you're safe because you're not on the Internet. And then March 13th happens, which is, Michelangelo's birthday.
Right.
There's thousands of viruses that wait for a trigger date. 1:10, 10 minutes after every hour. So you could be not on the Internet at that time, and the virus could be triggered because you got infected while you were on the Internet.
Right. Zone Alarm is another good one to have if you're new to this, and this is the only computer. Zone Alarm, you know, is a good firewall. It's free. Along with the rest of our Tango items that you can download and put on your machine and run weekly.
How about the firewall that Frontier offers as part of
that? Very good.
Yeah, Easy Armor, that's good.
Here's a quick quiz. That's what's the second largest software company in the world? Answer, Computer Associates.
Yep,
those are the people who are providing that. So the basic, the final answer here, Frank, is you don't need a switch and you do need security all the time. Now, I promised I was going to talk about 3D TV. There's a great new thing coming out. There's a bunch of researchers in Tokyo are talking about creating a television virtual reality television. You'll be able to see high-definition images in three dimensions from any angle. You'll be able to touch and smell the objects.
Wait a minute. How do you smell?
Smell-o-vision.
Smell-o-vision. But basically, we're talking about the holodeck.
What do you do, scratch the screen?
I have no idea. They're talking about the holodeck. Star Trek TV show.
You think wearing goggles over your eyes and ears is bad? Think of the things you're going to have to shove up your nose.
Yeah. No, the theory is it's just out in the room. It's basically a platform on the floor. You turn it on and there's three-dimensional objects standing there.
And what if somebody's allergic to a certain smell?
I have no idea. The funny thing is they don't have any idea either. They had a press conference. They talked about this. They're planning to spend more than 1 billion yen starting next year, and there's nothing else about it. They don't have an answer. They don't have a They don't have a clue. They're just somebody woke up one morning and said, oh, here's a good idea, 3D TV. Let's have a press conference. I love this idea. I love this idea.
NASA's apparently been working on it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, all I can envision is that you got some big, they have to monthly send you this big scratchy thing, scratch-off thing that you got a clear film that you put on your...
Does anyone remember Scratch and Sniff anymore?
Yeah, right. Or the different films that you used to put on the TV.
Yeah.
Right. Winky Dink.
I loved Winky Dink.
And you'd sit there and have to help draw on the screen.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed after a while to watch Winky Dink because one day I forgot to put the little screen on. That was bad. That was bad.
Mom was upset?
Yeah, Mom was a tad upset. I was drawing on this. Winky Dink was a TV show when I was a kid back in the 50s. Yeah, they had television back then.
That was very big, but it was...
And you would put a plastic film over the screen, and it was a wipe-off film.
Yep.
And you'd have crayons, and they'd say things like, oh, Winky Dink needs to get over the wall, draw him a ladder or something, and then you'd draw the ladder.
Interactive television. Across the river, and you had to draw him a bridge, and they quit.
Winky Dink! Heavens, you're a puppy. You are nothing but a puppy. And so you do these things, and then you erase it again for the next thing. And I didn't quite understand the concept of the little digital thing on there, so that was a bit of a problem. My mother was just the tiniest bit upset.
And back in those days, you also had to get up and turn the TV on and off.
That's why people had children. That's why they had children.
Go turn the TV on.
Get up and turn the channel.
Yeah.
Back when, when we finally got around to having more than one channel. Yeah. All right, listen, we are going to take a break. Once again, the incredible Randy Goldman is in to do the news, and he'll be telling you all the stuff that's going on in town. We know you're waiting to hear that. When we come back, we've got actually some pretty fascinating things to talk about. Steve is going to talk about, we're going to let Steve talk about Microsoft's newest patent. That's going to be fun. Writing rooms for money. We're going to talk about movies. Should they be analog or digital? Getting all your porn in the right place, in one place. It's going to be fun. I'm Nick Francesco with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, and Rob Linton on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Now, I promise when we came back, we will talk about warring bots.
I had a patent on its iPod menu interface structure because someone at Microsoft filed a patent application 6 months before Apple did.
So Microsoft has patented...
Well, they don't have approval of the patent either, but Apple's patent has been denied because Microsoft already has a patent application pending. So apparently someone at Microsoft jumped on the ball and patented a device they don't even own before the actual owners did. And it's kind of an irony in the U.S. Patent Office that you can patent anything that isn't already patented. So you don't have to invent it at all, but you have to put the patent in. Now, there's an issue called prior use. So Apple can show that they were using this device before they got around to filing the patent, and that might, you know, eventually lead them to get the patent. But one of the biggest ironies is that Microsoft's director of licensing says that Microsoft is very liberal about its licensing policies, and we'd be happy to license the iPod to Apple.
At $10 a piece.
At, you know, some ridiculous licensing fee. And it's sort of the backstory on a lot of this is that one of the Apple rumor sites, Apple Insider, posted this news a few months ago. There's a lot of really deep, geeky Apple enthusiasts, I guess is the word, that dig through the patent office. You can go.
I might say fanatics.
Yeah, you can go to the patent office website and search for patents and see who's applied for new patents and who owns patents and whatnot. And they search for these patents all the time about technology companies. And so they reported first that Apple was denied a patent on the iPod. And then other news organizations started jumping on that and very quickly became Microsoft owns the iPod. There's nothing in the article about Microsoft owning the iPod. The article was that Apple was denied a patent because someone at Microsoft already filed an application. So it was interesting to see how one little rumor site affected hundreds of legitimate news sites all around the world in what news they started reporting. And it got so bad, as Nick mentioned earlier, that they were discussing that Microsoft is licensing the iPod to Apple for $10 a unit, which is nowhere in anybody's press release or announcements or news stories.
Everybody else grabbed it.
Right, and that's how a lot of these odd stories start flying around the Internet, is that one company or one little website mentions it in their weblog or their blog, and suddenly a dozen other websites are quoting this first website, and then the legitimate news services, CNN and CNET and things like that, see that, oh, there's 15 websites reporting this story. It must be something. We'll start looking into it. And then the big news sites, you know, Wired and, you know, New York Times and whatnot, start reporting it too. So, you know, we can start our own rumors and really be able to jump on the news.
Very cool. I love that idea.
Yep.
We can start our own rumors. That you are Steve Jobs and Bill Gates' love child.
That could be. That'd be a little weird. We can't think of any good rumors to start.
Apparently not. Okay, the first thing is to have people plausible and interesting.
Yep.
While that one would be interesting, it's not entirely plausible, apparently. All right, we're bad at the rumor thing. So we're going to go back to the phones. We can do that. We're going to talk to Tom from Webster, who has a wireless networking question. Welcome, Tom.
Hello. Good day to you all.
Good day to you, too. What's your question?
I'm running Windows XP on a Toshiba laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a wireless network in my home.
Mm-hmm.
And I set it up so that my network has security and it's preferred.
Right.
However, after being on the Internet for about 5 or 6 minutes, a window will pop up saying there's more than one network available, and it will disconnect me until I click connect again, because there are other signals in my area, and I'm not able to stay on my network. So I was wondering if there's a way of turning off the other, or the ability to find other networks.
Yeah, there's a stop searching somewhere in there. Isn't there also an ignore somewhere in there?
Right, right. You can set it to ignore other other networks that you find.
Right. Now, I deleted all the ones when you go into the window, into the wireless stuff and XP. I've deleted the ones off the lower window except for mine. And mine's the only preferred one, but then when it says more than one wireless network available, it lists all three again.
Yeah, because it'll keep searching for them. Yeah, it'll keep searching, but you can tell it to maintain your connection. I'm afraid I don't have wireless on this laptop. There's not wireless here in this building, so I haven't been able to. I can't tell you exactly where it is, and I apologize. But you should be able, somewhere in the settings, to tell it, ignore everybody else and never connect to them.
Yeah, I'm looking for a tech note somewhere inside Microsoft.
Yeah, as opposed to preferred.
Well, a lot of folks are going to see this more and more nowadays when they're going wandering around with their laptops. Because one thing that they're doing for folks that aren't familiar with this is throughout the city and various spots, I mean, car dealerships and cafes and everybody else, are now putting up wireless. So when you're sitting, you know, say at a coffee shop or anything else with your laptop, you can literally connect to the internet. And it's free. But when you first get to it, you usually have to go through, some of them will require a username and password to log on and get in. Matter of fact, where was it? We were just at a place, and you had to get the, Steve had to get it to
right.
Some of the restaurants.
Yeah, some of the restaurants and bars have free internet. You just have to log into the service. Some of them are pay by the minute. But it's getting to be more and more common now that home users are ending up with wireless networks themselves. So you're likely seeing some of your neighbors' wireless internet as well.
Right, I know there's at least two of my neighbors that have the wireless. Theirs are not secure, however, so I don't want to be on theirs.
Well, right. That's why you can just say, you know, use yours as the default. You can move that up to the list and say use that as the default
right.
one.
If yours is at the top of the list.
Mine is at the top of the list.
And you go into the properties of the other one, you should be able to say don't connect to this one.
One thing you might also want to do, because, you know, if your neighbors, like you say, you know your neighbors around, and it's got to probably be about 150 feet or so, go around and make them aware of the fact that, you know, hey, I could connect to your internet, sit right out in your driveway. You know, you should maybe consider reading the manual and looking to lock it down so that, you know, it's not broadcasting to the whole neighborhood.
Right. In the wireless configuration window, you should be able to say change the order of preferred networks. And that's where you do that. And if yours is at the top of the list and the others are listed as ignore, that should do it. But you have to do each one individually.
Did I tell you guys what happened to me one time with somebody stealing my internet?
No.
All right, so I'm home one day. I've got wireless internet in my house. I'm home one day. I look out the window. There's a van. It's parked there. Guy's on his laptop. I'm like, oh. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I listen to the show. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I kind of sat there a second. I said, all right, he didn't look like he's with any, like, the water company or anything like that. It was a plain van. And I called the friendly police, and they came down. As soon as they saw, or he saw them, he took off. He was stealing somebody, myself or somebody else's internet.
Right.
It's kind of scary.
That's become a huge debate, yeah. That if you have an open wireless network in your house, can other people use it? And it seems to be very divided between people who have the network say, no one can use my network. People that don't have the wireless network are saying, yeah, sure, I want to use someone else's network. I'm not doing anything wrong. Well, the fact that you are using a network without authorization is, in fact, illegal.
And you're my favorite of the people who are constantly in the forums and on the other things saying, it's perfectly okay for me to steal it.
Let me ask you a question, though. If somebody is on using your internet, can they get into personal things in your computer?
Possibly.
If you
depends
have,
on how your system is set up.
Right. If you have file sharing turned on, they can get in very easily. Even if you don't have file sharing itself turned on, mm-hmm. Well, if you have two computers in your own house
right.
and share files between them,
right.
you have file sharing turned on. Anyone on your network can see your files, and that includes the guy sitting
You can put a password on those things, right? So
well, you can put a password on it. You can also encrypt your wireless signal, so if you don't have the password for the whole signal, they can't get on at all.
But
that's the preferred way to do it.
But somebody can go into the instruction manual of their wireless router and probably take a look at how to do this, right?
Well, the problem is most people set up their wireless router by plugging it in.
And going. Yeah.
And that means they have no password for admin. Anybody could go log into it and change anything they want.
Well, here's the other
thing. It's also not encrypted, so anybody can get on.
They were made, the wireless access points or routers or base stations, whatever you want to call them, were made intentionally easy to use because it's a very cryptic and complex thing. So by default, there's no security to make it easy for the average consumer to set up. We've now run into problems where it's so easy to set up that other people can get in and steal your stuff too easily.
Well, I set up to solve the problem for one client. They had literally three computers in the house. They were all hardwired.
Right.
I said, do you use wireless? Well, no, not really. Maybe down the road. I showed him how to log in into his router.
Yep.
We changed the password. And I turned off wireless.
Now, I got another question. Is there a way that you can see if somebody else is on your network?
Yes, absolutely.
How?
I can't give you explicit instructions because every router is different.
Right.
But the router you have in your home that provides you with your wireless, you can log into it via the web. You can look in your manual and see how to do that. One of the pages in that will tell you who's on your network. There's also a log to see who's been on your network.
Okay.
So usually they're by address, so you need to know the address of your system.
Right.
And that's easy enough to find out. But once you know those things, keep a little list of your systems, and if you see somebody strange, you can knock them off from there if you want to. Depending on whose router you've got. We need to take another break, but when we come back, we have wonderful things to talk about. One of the things we're going to talk about is writing worms for money. And I promised you I'd talk about roaring bots and Microsoft monkeys, and we'll do that when we come back with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob Linton, with me, Nick Francesco, and in fact with all of you, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wild the Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
Like I said, it's me, Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Hello.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller is...
Hang on a sec, Nick.
Not going to be talking.
No, I need you to do me a favor.
Oh, here we go.
Now, I know you always talk about your website, but talk about the forums for a second, because people are calling in with things that get a little too techy, and I've been saying, hey, check out the website. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they're like, what website? I mean, you know, how many times during your show do you name the website?
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, talk about your forums and what they're for.
All right, we'll talk a little bit about everything. We run a website called soundbites.org. That's bytes with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, in the computer sense of bytes. Get it? There's a whole bunch of stuff on there. Every week we do a poll. This week's poll, I might as well talk about this now, is about TVs on your cell phone. There are a couple of companies who are talking about the bandwidth required and doing a deal where you could get television signals, real television, on your cell phone. Broadcast TV. And so our poll is about that. So the choices are, yeah, baby, maybe, probably not, what'll it cost, and, of course, the Macintosh.
I don't understand that.
Stand what?
The Macintosh.
I get sick and tired of Macintosh people calling me up and saying, you missed this incredibly obscure choice, which only runs on the Macintosh if you've got an old 512K Mac running Mac Finder 2.1, and I still do, and I'm porked off now.
That explains it.
So now I just put the Macintosh. If you just want to vote for the Macintosh, you don't really care, you just want to say, oh, I own a Mac. If you know, that's it, rather than actually paying attention. And they got 6 votes this.
Well, it's third in the list.
It's third on the list. And so far, probably not, is leading with 62% of the vote, and the Mac has 9% of the vote. So you'll be delighted to know that.
I've actually had
nine people didn't really care one way or the other about the.
I've had this question, this discussion with my wife several times. We're out doing errands, and whatnot, and she said, well, "Let's go to the movies." Well, okay, what's playing? I don't have a newspaper with me. I'd love to have movie trailers and movie information on my cell phone.
That you can get. You can sign up for services.
With a web-enabled,
blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So that's different. This is talking about, oh, my gosh, it's 8 o'clock and I have to watch such and so. Flip, and up comes
and
the phone.
And how tiny the screen is. So we got to move to the next generation of bigger screens.
Bigger screens. And the real problem I have enough trouble with people driving and talking on the cell phone.
Watching
TV. I don't want them watching TV while they're driving.
But the trick I like is I can watch someone else's TV in the back of their car.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I've seen some things going on in the back, in those TVs in the back of the car that I'm delighted my daughter wasn't riding with me. But once you're done putting in the poll, then you can click on Give Us Your Opinion. There's a little yellow box under there. And that takes you to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. Thank you. Steve had to do that last Wednesday. I just want you to...
And I had half the audience doing it, too.
I'm
sorry, but that proves that a lot of people listen to this show.
A lot of people listen to this show.
If you're in an audience and you got some people that say the ding, now that's dedicated.
That's dedicated right there.
You know that.
That's true. So
join us in Soundbites. Then when you're done with my website, asknick.com, then you can come back to... See, you missed your cue.
Thank you. Then you can come back to Soundbites and join us in the forums. In the forums, we have lots of people.
At last count, as a matter of fact,
you may have to scroll down a bit to find the forums. Really cool stuff.
Right, the forums are at the bottom of the screen.
Everybody gets angry with me because their favorite thing is not at the top of the screen.
I've given up caring.
Yeah.
Don't bother to send me those.
Yeah, really.
I can't put everything at the top of the screen. Get over it. So you scroll down until you see really cool stuff, and you'll see a link to the forums. We've got 2,280 registered users. We've got 46,800 messages. 31% of you have actually posted messages. What's nice about the Soundbites website is there are lots and lots of people who can help you with the really geeky questions. The stuff we can't answer here because it would take 15 minutes of... Have you tried this? Do you know that? Do this. Come back. Do you have what's your model number? Yada, yada. All those things that are very hard to do on the phone. How many times have you heard to say, and, you know, what model number do you... Well, I don't know.
Well, I can't help you now. We can't answer that question without that information. You can take your time,
post a message. Somebody will say, give me the model number. You can take your time to find it and post it again. So over the course of a day or so, you'll get the answer you need to the more technically difficult questions.
Yeah, and you can post it. And we've got the forum for general. We've got current events. We've got Windows. We've got hardware. So you can be very specific. So you've got say a video card that's acting up or an OS that's acting up. We've got Mac. We've got Linux. There's a good variety there that you can post your question as techie or as simple as you want. And from time to time, the three of us jump in when we have the time. We won't always be able to get onto it because, oh, we have this thing called life.
Right.
And that actually brings up, I see Rob leaning toward the mic, too. That brings up a question we had at the Wednesday meeting. A lot of people don't know what an OS is.
I was just going to say, yeah.
And I stopped for the
That's right. But that doesn't
which one of us is that insult?
That's right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
The OS is, in fact, as I mentioned Wednesday night, computer geeks are pretty lazy. We try to truncate everything to as few syllables as we can.
SCSI.
The operating.
FYI. You know, anyway, go
The OS is the operating system.
Right.
And that's the software that your computer runs to make it do stuff.
For most people, that's some version of Windows.
And there are many other operating systems, and we call those the alt-OSs, alternate operating systems. The Macintosh, Unix, various flavors of Linux, the Sun OS.
QNX.
The QNX. So there's a lot of different operating systems, and that sort of brought us back to one of our answers, is how do I be safe on the Internet that don't run Windows?
Well, works.
And the question was, well, what else is there? And of course, as a Mac enthusiast and you know, 20 years of the Macintosh, I'm thinking, oh, no. Apple's marketing doesn't work.
there are
many other operating systems you can run and still be compatible with everyone else that's running Windows and just not be as big a target.
One other thing that I could tell folks, you know, to help them out in the forums, one of the other things that folks get very confused about, you know, and we ask folks here taking questions. How much memory do you have? I got a 40 gig. No, that's your hard drive. What folks get confused of, and here's a very simple way of to keep it separate. Memory is what's, you know, gets loaded every time. You know, when you're setting your computer up, you'll see it tell you how much as it's clicking up, how much memory you have. Storage space. Think of that as file cabinets. Your hard drive is like this file cabinet, because Windows puts itself in this little folder in this file cabinet, and so do all your other programs. So your storage space is your file cabinet. That's your hard drive. Memory
is your desktop. How much stuff can you put on the desk at one time?
Work is done.
Or as I put it, this dance floor. The more memory you have, the bigger the dance floor. The smaller the... You know, it's before his time.
Rob's got some images on his head of...
I'm before my time. I'm not that young.
Rob's got some images on his head of dancing with you, doing a tango. He's got... which one of you's Fred and which one's... I don't want to know. It's a long story, and we're...
I want to say something else really quickly, though. I'm just going to interrupt one at a while.
No, that's because
I can.
You can.
Anyway, hey... if somebody has a question...
Yeah.
They're a little too shy to call in, or perhaps they're not near a phone.
Right.
They can email us.
They can email us.
Or not us, because I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They get a mouse in your pocket?
No. They can email them. I'd like to see the answers.
Yeah, I know. Right? I'll be like, I'll send this to the boys. They can email. What are your email addresses? And we'll start reading off.
It's real easy. All they have to do, again, go to soundbites.org, scroll down the screen, and just above the line that says really cool stuff is a line that says can't call, send us an email instead. Click on that, and you end up with a form that lets you put in your question and your information.
Although you're more likely to get a faster response by posting that question in the forum.
Well, that's what I've been telling people, because you know, I think a lot of people misunderstand that this could be a tech support line.
It's not.
Right.
And what I tell people about the forums is jump in there. I guarantee within an hour or two, somebody will jump on there and answer your question for you better than any tech support line.
The nice thing is that when you fill out that question, when you click on that send us an email instead, you get to put your first name, your city, state, your email address in case we need more information, and it asks you what operating system you have and how much memory you have and then some information about the program and then a description of the problem. So it's kind of neatly laid out, and it's a good way to do that.
And what's the address again?
Soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And now we're going to go talk to Tony in Shalott, New York. Welcome, Tony. What's your question?
Good afternoon. Thanks, Nick. This problem should be an easy one for you. Yesterday...
yeah, but no pressure.
Questions are always easy.
Yeah, I won't give any pressure. Right. Yesterday, and since, when I click onto my toolbar, instead of getting a menu, I get a black field of spaces. And I don't know what the heck is under there. If I blindly click on a blank field, something comes up, but I can't see what I'm clicking onto.
Okay, you've got one of two things going on. Is this any toolbar anywhere?
No, it is not any toolbar. It's the second toolbar on AOL. It's the second toolbar down. The upper toolbars work okay.
Okay, it sounds to me like you've got one of two things going on. One is you have a virus. You need to dance the security tango at securitytango.com. And that will clean out your system. The second thing you need to do is look and see how many programs you've got running on your system at once. Because often what happens is, if you have filled up your memory, certain programs like AOL can't find enough room to put their own stuff in. So they dump what they consider the least important things, one of which, of course, would be the cell phone. So, cell phone?
That
you just moved over the next call, which had cell phone on it, which would be one of the toolbars. So I would suggest first you dance the tango, make sure you don't have any viruses, make sure your antivirus software is up to date. The tango leads you through all that.
Yep.
And the second thing is, if once your system is clean, make sure you've shut down everything you're not using. A lot of people I know often have several versions of Word running because they've reopened the software. They may have, you know, a couple of games open in their email and their couple of browsers, and AOL's a hog. And if, for example, you only have 128 mega memory, you just don't have enough memory.
And
you want a minimum of 256 meg, and 512 is much better.
And you also want to be careful about downloading all those extra cute little toolbars that put up little search windows or little weather windows. Most of those type of toolbars contain so much spyware that they spy on your computer, they spy on what websites you go to, and they slow your computer down so much that maybe that's what's happening, that this toolbar is trying to load some spyware, and it can't because something else is wrong, too.
Right. Okay. We're going to go on to our next call. This is, as you may have heard before, a cell phone call from Susan. Welcome, Susan. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Enjoying the show.
Thank you.
I refuse to get a PC.
Good for you.
And, I wish the rest of the world would catch up. But since I'm going to be working...
Are you using a mainframe?
No, I want a Mac. I'm working on an 8500 with an 8.6 operating system. I definitely have to, you know, get something new. How can I guarantee that what I do on the Mac will seamlessly work or be read by people in the rest of the world who are running the PCs and vice versa? I know there's a virtual PC program from Microsoft, but I hesitate using anything.
Well, virtual PC is Windows. It allows you to run Windows on your Mac with all of the inherent problems in Windows, so it doesn't save you anything. It's basically used for very niche programs that don't have a Mac equivalent. The biggest thing that you can do to help your documents migrate to other computers is use a common program like Microsoft Word. The big question we get from a lot of people is I sent a file to someone, they can't read it, and they're on a PC, and I'm on a Mac. Well, that doesn't really matter. It matters what program you use. If you're on a PC...
Or what format you save it in.
If you're on a PC and you send a document in multiplan to someone else, they're not going to be able to open it unless they have multiplan. So it's not really platform-specific. It's program-specific.
I have not heard the word multiplan in probably 15 years.
Well, that's why I use that as an example. Right. So if you're going to send...
Multiplan was an old spreadsheet program.
Right. So if you're going to send a file to someone, you have to know what programs they have. If you don't, then you need to use a common format. And the lowest common denominator is text. So any file format that you send to someone, you can send it in text, and then you know they can open it. If you know they have Microsoft Word, you can use Word on your computer. If you know they have AppleWorks, you can use AppleWorks on your computer.
Alternately, they can save as and pick a different format in almost any program. Most programs will let you save as a Word document, .doc.
Right. AppleWorks for the Mac, you can save a Word file, and then someone using Word can open.
More importantly, though, the thing that almost everybody on earth can read, no matter what your operating system, is text. But if you really want to have a little more, you know, fonts, interesting fonts and bold and everything else, you can use RTF.
Which is rich text.
Rich text format. It's read, it's understood by every operating system on earth. If you send an RTF file to a Mac person and they double click on it, Word will open.
Or AppleWorks, or RightNow, or whatever word processor you use.
Right, so they all read it and they all do it. So you should use, when you go to save as, you should save as, and then in the format, pick RTF, rich text format.
There's a new format that, well, it's not really new, but Adobe's been pushing the PDF format, the portable document format.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about PDF is that most every computer can read it, and you keep all your fonts and your graphics and your formatting and your text. So if you save your document in PDF format, a Mac or Windows, then any other computer can read it with the free PDF reader.
Talk about old programs. I was over to a client, and one of their databases for this one big, huge program got corrupted. So this tech company had to call in to repair it. And I'm sitting there watching the screen because he had remote. He goes to the DOS prompt and starts typing in dbase commands.
Oh!
It's like,
man, I haven't used dbase in almost as long as I haven't used multiplan.
And dbase is an old database program, you know, for, you know, like you use for Access Now to fill out forms and gather the information and all that. So, I mean, to see that program, that was like,
still out. Before we go back to the phones, I'm going to talk about taking a break. That's what I'm going to talk about.
What are we going to do after the break?
Let me ask you a question. How long have we been doing this show now?
Long enough that I could have noticed the clock and it's time to go. All right, when we come back, we're going to have more phone calls. We've got a couple people patiently waiting on the line. I'm going to talk about Microsoft Monkeys. I'm going to talk about analog or digital movies. And we're going to be back with Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Computer talk that you can understand. Now back to Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Litton.
Oh, Rob can't see what goes on. Sit down. Yep. It actually happened off the air, which I think in many ways is a good thing, but you have achieved meltdown.
No. It's just my... Never mind. I'm
going to go over in the corner and laugh at him.
You're
right.
Funny in this kind of thing.
We're going to get back to the phones, but I'm going to talk about Microsoft Monkeys.
It's about time.
It's about dang time to talk about the Microsoft Monkeys. And here it is. This is not a pejorative term. Microsoft has their very own monkeys. They call them
programmers?
Honey monkeys. It's the Honey Monkey Project. There are things on the net called honey pots, and there are things that people put out on the net in order to trap the bad guys. You know, people who are trying to break into your website and find out your social security numbers and things. They put out what they call honey pots, hoping that you'll come along, find one of those honey pots, and get in there, and they'll trace you back. Microsoft calls theirs Honey Monkeys because probably somebody else has patented the term honeypot. And what they do is these are programs that go out around the Internet pretending to be Internet Explorer. And when they hit one of those websites that has a malicious exploit on it, something that will try to break in through Internet Explorer and kill your machine, they send back a signal to Microsoft saying, here's the address of those guys. Microsoft then sends the police out to arrest them. Cool. I love this idea. It's a great idea.
Of course, they don't claim entrapment if it happens here in the U.S.
Yeah, but at the very least, it gets them shut down. You know, whether they get arrested or not, they get shut down. So it's pretty neat deal. You know, online fraudsters are becoming a lot more savvy about fooling all their users. And Microsoft is now getting a little more proactive. For the longest time, Microsoft just sat back and said, basically, yeah, it's your problem, deal with it.
Yeah.
But lately, they've been becoming a lot more proactive. So those are the Microsoft monkeys. They're out there on the internet looking for those problems before you get caught with them. And I have to say, I give Microsoft all the credit. That's a great thing to do, a great idea. I'm very glad they're doing it.
Wait a minute. Did you just compliment Microsoft?
I do compliment.
All right,
everybody thinks I don't compliment Microsoft.
Write this down. This
I compliment Microsoft regularly.
All right.
When Microsoft does something right, I am right there saying they do it. You don't hear it often.
So what you're saying is they don't do stuff.
They've done many things right. I said nice things about SQL Server when it came out. I said nice things about Microsoft Access when it came out. I said nice things about a lot of their stuff when it came out.
And this over the span of how many years you've been on the radio?
15, almost 16.
Right.
I fixed the thing in the front.
Oh, good.
What happened was, Dan's been dinging me about this for like ever because I had the dates wrong. And, you know, you see a count up as to how long we've been on the air. It said we'd already been on the air 16 years, and in fact, we haven't. What happened was, in the old program that I used, you counted the months from zero.
Oh.
So September was the eighth month, right? Because January was the zero month.
Yeah.
When I moved it over, I forgot to change the eighth to a nine.
Thank you. That's what happened. My fault. Thank you. I appreciate
it. Speaking of those changes, we got to worry about this daylight savings time change.
Daylight savings time?
Is that really going to happen?
Yes.
Every
year. No. I mean, I know it happens every year, but weren't they talking about it?
No, it's permanently happening. They're changing it by 3 hours, one in the...
I think it's been voted.
Right.
Yeah, it's passed.
Who votes on that?
Your representatives.
Yeah, they passed it. And what's
the people you elected.
They're going to add 4 hours... Technically,
four
to
weeks.
Daylight save
four weeks
to daylight saving.
3 weeks in the spring and 1 week in
the
fall.
Well, if you were here and working,
stop it.
We would have covered. We covered
right.
that story on how
right.
it's going to affect a lot of things.
All your computers and VCRs and cell phones and all these electronic devices
and all these other things
automatically update themselves for daylight savings time. So when you get up in the morning of whatever day that's
going to
be,
it'll be like the new millennium thing. There's going to be patches,
right?
I mean, you know,
well, who's going to patch your microwave?
Oh, well, yeah.
Or you're going to patch your cell phone.
Or
maybe
your
cell phone.
Cell phones would be fine. Would you have to patch your
microwave? Patch your clock. Because it will, most of them nowadays, understand the electricity time.
Yeah,
they'll change for you.
It'll have the wrong time on it.
Well, yours doesn't. I can't help you. You're cheap. You bought the $11 microwave from the guy with the truck in the corner. I can't help you with that one.
The really interesting thing is that I was reading about some of these problems that Canada also has to approve it, too. Or when you cross the border, your times are going to be screwed up, you know, and different for Canada. And this one Canadian legislature was saying that we just change our clocks. What's the big deal?
Yeah, right. So the problem is the automated devices that have no human
interaction. And there's so many automated devices because we as Americans are generally lazy.
Yeah, we have.
With us changing this, I wonder, you know, there's some states that don't even observe.
Arizona.
Right.
My sister-in-law, we never know whether she's 2 hours, 3 hours off, whatever.
When would they make this?
2007.
2007.
Yes.
So they got a while to figure things out.
So you got
to
start saving your pennies for that new microwave.
No. Here's the deal with the microwave.
His microwave! I did not realize that we had hit the microwave soft spot.
Whatever.
The tender spot.
Forget about it. I'm okay with my microwave.
We lose power in my house so often, the microwave is always at zero anyway.
That's because you live in Greece, just like me.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, listen.
My house from the 30s is wired so wrong.
Yeah, right. You don't know what you're doing. We're going to come back. We've got George and Colleen on the phone, and maybe I'll even get time to talk about analog versus digital movies. Back with Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
From PCs to Macs, these guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Winton.
Rob's on a roll.
Woo!
We should sell tickets to the in-betweens.
Oh, that's right. Well, it's just like Oprah. We could have the after show. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right. Not that I watch it.
And if I look under my seat, I'll probably find like gum as opposed to a new car, right?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That was disgusting.
You know what? Looks don't work on radio. Not for nothing. Maybe Jack Benny could get away with 15, 20 seconds of silence. Not you. All right. Before we get back to the phones, I just want to talk about movies, analog or digital movies. They're now talking about doing more and more digital movies as opposed to live actors and live scenery. We saw it with Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow. We've seen it with, that's just all the backgrounds were digital. There were hardly any sets at all in that film. It was all digital. We've seen it with a lot of the science fiction stuff on television nowadays. They don't bother to build sets. They just build a ramp. You walk up a ramp, and there's a whole spaceship built around you in
the
computer.
The latest Star Wars was mostly that.
A lot of that's, when you were teasing that, I was thinking you were meaning just digital projection. Because we saw Star Wars Episode 3 in digital projection, much, much crisper than the analog projection. No film lines, no noise, no dust.
Right. And that's
very good.
Yeah, that's new, too, and that's coming along pretty nice. But they're now talking about more and more digital actors. There was a thing, Final Fantasy, which was a movie that came out. There were no live people in it. It was all... Right. They were all digital. Certainly, we've all seen Monsters, Inc. and all, you know, Finding Nemo and all that stuff. They want to do more with people. So the real question is, you know, is it live or is it CG? As one of my friends put it, is it Angelina Jolie or the real Lara Croft? You know, that's the kind of thing that they're looking to do. It's an interesting thing. We'll be seeing much more of that as time goes along. So
the best one, though, that I like talking about that series, Shark Tales.
Yeah. Sure.
When the whale gets a turtle wax and you see the turtles.
Right.
So many.
But that's all digital stuff. Yeah. And one of the things that they're finding is that Disney's in trouble because all of their live action animation stuff recently has tanked. Not live action, but their hand-drawn animation stuff has tanked at the box office, where all these digital shows are going along fine. I suspect that's because their storylines are such junk.
A very good
the movies
one.
Are just crap.
Combined both, real people and animation, was iRobot with Will Smith.
Right.
I mean,
most of that was CG. Absolutely.
It was all literally digital.
And in Gladiator, when Reed... what's his name? Reed. Oliver Reed. Died in the middle of filming. They put a different actor in there, and they stuck Oliver Reed's face on him. So you didn't even need the live actor.
There's been a big thing in commercials for a while, bringing Frank Sinatra back into a commercial, Nat King Cole into a commercial.
Right. Well, they did that years ago with Bogart, Humphrey Bogart.
A William Shatner movie, Looker.
Sure.
Was the subplot where they would scan, they do a digital scan of the actor, send them the plastic surgery to fix his little millimeter errors, and then kill the actor so you don't have to pay them royalties.
Simone, with who was in that? Not De Niro. Pacino, Al Pacino. Did Simone about a digital actress. Well, that's it. I apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. I want to thank everybody who called in. We are actually done for another week. I'm sorry we didn't get to a couple of you. We'll call back earlier next week. I apologize. But we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. We'll be back here next week. I once again want to thank the folks at Frontier for coming on as sponsors and sponsoring the seminars. We'll let you know what the future holds for those things. Hopefully we'll be doing a bunch more of those. Don't try this at home. I'm a professional. Please, I wish we could have a studio audience here so we could see Rob in the breaks. But we'll be back next week on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAS.